From KTOO, I'm Katie Anastas with a look at local and statewide news. Alaska is slated to get $285 million from the federal government to modernize the state's ferry fleet and improve service. It's part of the bipartisan infrastructure law passed in 2021. But to actually spend the windfall, the state needs to put up money too. That's a hard request in a state that's facing a deficit amid falling oil revenue. So, as Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports, the state is turning to an obscure accounting quirk to turn old federal funds into new ones.
The $285 million federal windfall is a boon to the state's ferry system. Catherine Keith is the deputy commissioner for the state's Department of Transportation. She told the state's Marine Highway Operations Board earlier this month that the federal grants would inject some life into the marine highway system.
Modernize our vessels, begin designing some new builds, construction of new builds, and then also reinvesting in some of our ferry terminal facilities so that we can get closer to running all ships in all docks. And then finally, providing the marine highway system with some operating funds.
But the grants aren't free money. Each of the six grants requires a match from the state, between 25% and 50%. Ferry board member Juanetta Ayers said she was worried about the state prioritizing the matching funds.
The reality is we're in a deficit budget situation under certain circumstances, and that puts pressure on cash available for match.
Ferry boosters might have a reason to be skeptical. During his first term, Governor Mike Dunleavy cut millions from the ferry system's budget and sold off three state ferries. But in a state budget amendment submitted this month, Dunleavy's administration proposed a solution. DOT Commissioner Ryan Anderson says the state needs almost $50 million in matching funds for this year's ferry grants, and he's got an idea for where to get it.
To meet this requirement, the state is proposing to use an innovative federal aid highway tool that allows the state to use existing federal dollars to capture these new federal dollars.
Turning old federal money into lots and lots of new federal money. It's not alchemy, it's accounting. The secret here are so-called toll match credits. Think of it this way. The marine highway system is part of the federal highway system. And if you think about ferry tickets as tolls, it's not just a highway, it's a toll road. And those toll revenues are at least partly invested in maintaining the ferry fleet and its network of terminals. Toll match credits allow that maintenance spending to count towards the state's portion of the match. The federal grants break down like this. About $68 million towards a hybrid diesel-electric replacement for the ferry Tustamina. That project is already underway. There's also about $8.5 million to design a new mainliner for Southeast. Another $164 million would go towards a new electric ferry, as well as upgrades to the system's dock infrastructure and modernizing the existing vessels. The $285 million package also includes nearly $45 million for operating funds. Reporting for Coast Alaska in Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
City leaders expect 1.6 million passengers to visit Juneau this summer. That's nearly 50% more than last year. If that expectation becomes reality, those visitors would generate more than $21 million in revenue through fees charged to cruise ships. Juneau Tourism Manager Alexandra Pierce has proposed putting that money toward a range of city services and projects, including the Seawalk, Marine Park, and the proposed Capital Civic Center. A 2019 settlement agreement with the Cruise Lines International Association limits how the city can spend those fees.
We're pretty encumbered on how we can spend the funds, but we also want to make sure that we're spending them in a way that not only supports the visitor industry, but also creates lasting assets for the community, which is why something like the Seawalk is a major priority.
Some of the allocations came from project proposals submitted by city departments and the public in December. For example, Pierce says Capital Transit proposed adding more signs to the transit center to help tourists use city buses.
An interesting thing that's happened in the last year is an uptick in the number of tourists using the city bus. And so we've realized that we need to improve signage and wayfinding for that new increased use.
Juneau residents can email their comments to Pierce or mail them to the city manager's office until March 17th. The proposed list is available on the city's website. Those comments will be submitted along with the proposed list to the Juneau Assembly's Finance Committee. The Assembly will consider the final list during its budget cycle. A longtime state employee and Republican supporter has been chosen to lead the Alaska Division of Elections, a nonpartisan role. Lieutenant Governor Nancy Dahlstrom announced the appointment of Carol Beecher on Wednesday. Beecher succeeds Gail Fanumiai, who had a long career with the division and retired last year after administering Alaska's first ranked choice elections. In Alaska, the lieutenant governor oversees elections. The Anchorage Daily News reports Beecher began working for the state in 2005 under several Republican elected officials, and most recently led the state's child support division. On Thursday, Dahlstrom defended Beecher as fair and impartial. Under the law, the director cannot participate in partisan activities or make political contributions. Each year on February 16th, the Alaska Native Sisterhood in Juneau celebrates the anniversary of the passing of Alaska's Anti-Discrimination Act by visiting Elizabeth Paratovich's final resting place and then rallying in her honor at the state capitol. KTOO's Yvonne Crumry has this story.
About a dozen people are gathered at Juneau's Evergreen Cemetery, circled around the graves of Elizabeth and Roy Paratovich. Jamie Ann Saakten Hasselquist with the Alaska Native Sisterhood was here yesterday to shovel away the snow. Now, wearing her blue and white hat and sash, she lays flowers at the graves. She says Paratovich's work was instrumental in passing the state's Anti-Discrimination Act in 1945. So that life is different for Alaska Native people today.
Like I said this morning, we all have workplaces. We all can go into restaurants. We all can speak our language. And we're all walking in the legacy of Elizabeth in her spirit. And so the intention today was to come together and let people speak.
Paratovich is credited with being the force that turned the favor of the legislature toward the Anti-Discrimination Act, by challenging Alaska legislators who were against the bill. Peter Nerose is with the Alaska Native Brotherhood.
So when a brave person is standing in front of a maybe not so brave senator and calling him to task, that's what happened. We're proud of her.
Later at the Capitol steps, children, legislators, and elders gather in the rain for a rally.
Some of you are holding signs, signs of important topics. But we don't just see you as holding a sign. We see you moving in the spirit of Elizabeth. You are using your most powerful tools, your voice, and your presence.
Shosh Kwan Raven Svensson is here with the University of Alaska Southeast student group Wuch'in. Her sign says, Ahnain Gunatjish Kachgal At, giving thanks and using Paratovich's Tlingit name.
And just being very grateful for the effect that all of that work has done for us today, and the freedoms that I get to enjoy because she stood up for it.
Al-Maria Al-Kayantra works in tribal advocacy.
Far too often, Indigenous people are left out of the picture, but we're here and we've been here and we're not going anywhere.
Other students say Paratovich inspires them to do the work they do, like language revitalization efforts, advocacy for Alaska Native rights in legislation, and making room for Indigenous students in academia. Part of that legacy is advocating for civil rights now, they say. Their signs ask lawmakers to support mental health program funding in schools and increased insurance coverage of contraceptives. They're also opposed to a bill that would limit school sports based on students' gender assigned at birth. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry.
And now for a look at local weather. It's 33 degrees at the Juneau International Airport. A mix of rain and snow will continue in Juneau and the rest of Southeast this evening through early Saturday. Snow will be wet and heavy, and only minor accumulations are expected. Temperatures will drop below freezing tonight, with the potential to cause icy conditions on sidewalks and roadways. Avalanche advisory is high today. The existing snowpack is weak, and more incoming snow at high elevations will increase the potential for natural avalanches. People should avoid the Flume Trail and areas above the gates in the Barrens neighborhood through the weekend.